The warm air, the sounds of baseball, it's got you thinking about hitting the road. And no matter where your adventures take you, Subaru of Gwinnett has a vehicle to get you there safely and in style. Like the 2024 Subaru Outback, sporting standard symmetrical all-wheel drive and up to 32 miles per gallon. Or the 2024 Subaru Forester, the SUV with a spacious and comfortable interior for everyone you want to bring along. Start your shopping online at SubaruofGwinnett.com, then come see us for a test drive on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth.
So when you put those signs out there, they're not really real.
It's difficult. We're working on it.
Welcome into the Ben Burnett Show. My name is Ben Burnett. My guest today is the one and only person in all of, I'd say, North Fulton, but it's probably Senate District 21 that nobody has a bad thing to say about, Peyton Jamison. Peyton, welcome in.
Thanks, Ben. Probably after this podcast, that's when it'll start, is my guess.
So we'll get right to it. We're leading off season 4B with you.
Oh, nice.
By unanimous approval. And we've got some heavy hitters, and we were like, no, we're going with Peyton first.
The 30 followers on Twitter, right?
I'll kill you.
I'm talking about me.
Oh, you?
Yeah. And I stay off that.
In transparency, Peyton told me if I chirped at him on Twitter one more time, he would block me.
I did say that. I go, you will not get a response from me ever.
Ever. Peyton, talk about, so this is, it's on January 10th as we timestamp it. You've been the mayor of Milton for a week. Talk to me about your decision to get into public service in general. Why Milton? Why'd you move out here? And then we'll get into like where you grew up and
what
made you who you are.
It kind of goes together. So, sorry, I got a horse throat here.
Speaking of horses.
Yeah, exactly. So I grew up here in Roswell. So I went to Roswell High School, moved here when I was like 12.
What year did you graduate?
2000.
Okay.
So big 40. Couple months.
That's right.
So grew up in Roswell, went to Auburn University, met my wife Megan, and I always knew I was going to come back home. And when we were looking around, Roswell was definitely changing. And we literally just drove 2 minutes up the road and saw what Milton was doing. And so we decided to, set our roots in Milton, and we immediately became involved in the city. Just more of community service. We were volunteering at all the events, hosting a bunch of events, got involved in the Crabapple area. And then all of a sudden, some of the elected officials would appoint me to boards and committees, and I'd be like, I actually like doing this, helping my community. So then I just made those steps, ran for city council, and then ran for mayor.
Well, that pretty much does it for this episode.
That's it. That's it.
Where'd you move from when you moved to Roswell growing up?
I was born in Smyrna, which was a lot different.
I would have definitely moved 40, to Roswell.
40 years ago. Was a lot different.
When you making the decision to go to Auburn, what did you study? Were you one of those people who went to Auburn because they couldn't get into Georgia?
I was one of those people.
I probably couldn't get into
Georgia. I did not apply to Georgia. I knew I couldn't get into Georgia. It was a lot different. I went to campus, toured it, went into the admissions office, front and back, fill this piece of paper out, and you're accepted. Thanks. And like I said, fantastic. And that was my college admissions process. Don't ask me my GPA either at Auburn.
Well, it's one of those things that everybody who's been to school knows. It's 2.0 is all it takes to get out. The rest is
It was a 2.2 in the business school.
Oh,
don't ask me how I know that, but I know that.
Can I tell you something?
Sure.
I graduated from Samford with a 2.02 GPA.
I think I just beat you.
Yeah. So anybody thinking about public service, just know this. Your GPA, honestly, like the closer it is to two, the better you are probably being electable.
And then I would say in the real world also, I mean,
yeah,
the further out you get from college, the less your grade point average matters. To get that first job, it does help.
It does help. Well, and one of the things that you do, and I think you own it with your dad, is, did you guys just set up roots here with your business in Milton?
So my father, no, he started it, I think it was in Atlanta, and it was started as an accounting firm, and he just busted his butt. And then over, last 40 years, just morphed into more wealth management approach. So accounting, investment advising, estate planning, retirement planning, all that.
If you're in downtown Alpharetta and you like seafood, you need to go see my friends Travis and Andy at Chiringa. And if you are making vacation plans this spring or summer, you need to go down to 30A, my buddies at Grayton Beach, in the sister restaurant Chiringa. Get yourself a frosé. There's nothing better. That's fun. One of the things that you first kind of get into is you sit on the planning commission out here.
Yes.
Talk to your people, and really, Forsyth County's got one, Cherokee County's got one, Milton has one, Alpharetta has one. Talk about the planning commission and what that does and how important it is to where you live.
The planning commission is probably, right after city council, the most important committee the city has, because not only are you determining your future land, your current land use and your future land use, which controls everything. Land use controls your density, your infrastructure, your public safety, your schools. It controls everything. And it shapes how you and your citizens want the city. And when I was first appointed to the planning commission, I had no idea what the planning commission even was. And I watched hours and hours of meetings to figure out what is the planning commission and what does it do. And it did take, a good 18 months for me to really figure everything out. And the good part of our planning commission was there are a lot of senior members who've been on there a long time. And then there's a couple junior members. And so as I was able to learn and adopt and shape my philosophy. And I would say it is so important that when I ran for city council, I had a good 4 to 5 years of experience on the planning commission, because if I did not have those years of experience, it would be a much stronger and harder learning curve on a council. So it's by far the most important committee.
Talk to me, and really, it's really the people that live in Milton now. Do you guys have boards and commissions where there are slots that are difficult to fill? And what are those? If I just moved to Milton, and I might, if I just moved to Milton and wanted to get involved, what are some of those lower barriers to entry? Because I'll tell you, I'm done sitting on the city council in Alpharetta now. I loved sitting on boards and commissions. I sat on Parks and Recreation with Hans's wife, Christina, and you just get to know so many people that you don't interact with from church or chamber of commerce or business. Talk to me about the needs that you guys have in looking for volunteers and people who want to get involved.
No, that's a very good point. It is very hard to find. There are plenty of people that want to get involved, but you have to be careful, and you want to make sure that I like to appoint people who are actually experts, quote unquote, in the certain areas like Parks and Rec. I always like to find a youth coach, and it's hard to find a youth coach because usually at Parks and Rec meetings, it's in the evenings and they're coaching. So it's hard to find people that are, that are engaged in that, committee. Now in Milton, it might be different because certain boards and committees, you have to live within a district. So for example, if you're a city council member from District 1, let's say it's Crabapple. I like Crabapple. You have to find someone that lives within those districts. So that narrows it down, and it is kind of difficult.
As you kind of move on, when you talk about sitting on the city council for 4 years, what are you really proud of that you guys had the opportunity to do and the projects that you have that really take shape? Because Alpharetta, and I always say Alpharetta is Milton's affordable housing, which is funny because it used to be true. I don't know if it's true anymore. But talk about the projects and the and the things that you're really proud of over the first term that you guys came to consensus on and really drove forward that prompted you to think about running for mayor?
So I would say the first these first 4 years, the biggest thing that we did was write the prior council and the citizens voted on the green space bond.
What did that do?
So $25 million to buy passive land. And it's one thing when we're buying it now, it really doesn't mean a lot, but 10, 20, 30, 50 years from now, when we have over 400 acres of passive land, where everything else is kind of getting built up, and we now have bought these huge parks and they're all just trails, ponds. And now we're going to start beginning. You'll see the next 4 years and next 8 years, we will start to begin to start building them out and opening them up. Right. So trails and parks and green space is probably going to be, it was important, and I think it's going to continue to be very important.
As you look at the amenities that the people come to you and ask for, what's the number one thing that people move? Yeah, so your slogan is like, keep Milton, which right. One of the things I love is things that no one can fundamentally disagree with. It's right. Like, well, I love Milton. I want to
keep it that way.
I'm going to keep it that way. But talk to me about what makes, not makes people move, but what makes people move and what makes people stay? What's the most important two or three things that people move to Milton to have or protect?
So Milton is very unique in North Fulton and really greater Atlanta area, that, you know, 85 to 90% of our entire land mass is non-sewered. So what you see outside of Crabapple and Highway 9 is 1 acre, 2-3 acre estate lots. And so people move out there because they can live there and then they can go to other municipalities that are close by. And you kind of have that great feel of,
you can Uber to Alpharetta in 7 minutes for $10.
Crabapple soon, but yes, exactly. I mean, I live on 4 acres and I can be in downtown Alpharetta in under 10 minutes. The schools are great. Parks are great, like I said, but I do think the one question we continue to receive from new people moving in is we do need more active park space. We are underparked in that area.
Can you talk to me quickly when you talk about what that looks like? Can you take the land that you had in green space? It has to be entirely new projects.
So if we used green space bond money, it has to be passive. That was part of the bond language.
Interesting. Where do you see your parkland infrastructure? Like, if you guys had a roadmap, and I've been around long enough to know that you have two or three.
Yep.
What do you think those first four projects are, and when does that come to a voter to consider? Are you guys going to just pay as you go?
Well, hopefully with Milton, we do have a pay as you go system. And so we should be able, hopefully, we got to work on the finances. We should be able to pay for most of this. We already kind of have some of the funds. But first off, a indoor community center. We don't have any indoor basketball courts. We have no indoor programming that's not done through other partnerships. So we love to have an indoor community center, and we just need more fields. You know, maybe four more diamond fields and two more fields for lacrosse and football and soccer.
If you're in North Fulton and you're in need of a golf cart, contact my friends at Low Speed Vehicles of Alpharetta, your place for easy go golf carts. When you talk about vision for what you guys want to do, what's important to you with respect to the TSPLOS that just passed for infrastructure? I imagine having a millage rate cap of sorts, that is a tremendous asset to your revenues. I think you guys would probably be lost without it. But if you had to say of a handful of infrastructure projects that you guys are looking at that are outside of parks and outside of trails, yep, that don't get all the sexy Christmas lights, what are those projects and problem areas that you guys want to continue through to look at?
So that's a great question. So we all love roundabouts, right?
Love them.
Well, the one issue with roundabouts, they work so efficiently, it pushes traffic even more, right? And so if you have a roundabout and then you have a stop sign, well, all it does is just pushes that traffic to the stop sign. So we're going to continue to build those out. We have a couple huge ones, the Bethany Way and Bethany Bend. one, which is a weird intersection that's
headed towards Kings Ridge.
Towards Kings Ridge, and that one hopefully is going to be started any day now. I mean, they're already doing a lot of the right of way stuff. So all those roundabout projects are going to be going on, and so I could see the roundabouts being double, you know, in the next 4 to 8 years. I mean, Birmingham, that's going to be another very complicated one. Birmingham Highway and Birmingham Road, I think that's a GDOT one. That one's coming along. So you're going to love more roundabouts in Milton. You might get dizzy driving around, but we'll get you through.
When you talk about, so obviously, I'll be honest with you, we're 2 days before Christmas. So I don't like to timestamp these, and I can't put too much out there because you don't know, but you're going to inherit a council as a one-term city council member turned mayor and three new elected officials. Talk to me about your leadership style and as talking to them, ideas that they have that aren't necessarily things that you're passionate about or not passionate about one way or the other, but forming consensus and moving Milton forward while keeping Milton.
So I think the whole, I mean, part of Pete's, I think sometimes a part of a mayor is to kind of build consensus and try not to go on our own little one-offs and try to kind of have that strategic plan and goal in mind where, I mean, council for the most part is going to agree on 95% of the stuff that comes, right? It's really that 5% is where we might get some disagreements on. But we have three new council members. We have three ones that have been on council. I think we have a great makeup of really community-focused people, and I think we're going to get a lot done. And I don't think what ends up happening in some councils, not to pick out cities, is that sometimes they spend so much time with the drama, fighting, and all that does is it wastes staff time, it wastes citizens' time, it costs money, and what's the most important thing is working together, and it's okay to disagree, but it's not okay to disagree, and then once you're done with, you know, once the council meeting is over with, you carry that home, you carry that within the community, and all that does is it wastes time. And you can see what happens to cities that have that and the cities that don't have it. The cities that don't have it, they prevail and they prosper at a much faster pace. And that's what we're going to continue to do.
So you are following in the footsteps of what I would say is a North Fulton legend. That's you, Joe. Avid listener, by the way.
Oh, I'm sure he is.
Talk to me.
You might have to show him how to download the app on his phone, maybe.
He's a great guy. Talk to me about what he has meant to you and what he has meant to Milton.
So, yes, he is funny. When my wife and I first moved to Milton, I didn't know any of the elected officials at all. I gave this quote when I spoke at his send-off. You know, when I was on the planning commission, and I was chairman during a very contentious time. We had a contentious zoning that really would have shaped Milton forever. And it was, the council was split on it. And it was at the planning commission level, and someone was just giving me the third degree, you know, at that public mic. And I got a text on my phone, and I didn't know who the number was, and later found out that was just Joe giving me some words of encouragement. And I thought that was cool. I mean, I probably was 30 years old, 31 or something. I don't know. I was young, and for the mayor to reach out and give me some words of encouragement during that time was great. And so ever since then, it's been I've looked up to him and the way he's shaped the city. And like you said, he's a consensus builder, always has been. And I think he was the perfect leader for a new city. So, you know, Joe wasn't supposed to win when he first ran. He wasn't the guy who everyone thought was going to win. He came out, he worked hard, had no politics in his past. And I think that was great for a new city. So he's leaving on a very high note, as well as the other council members. And what they've done for the last 15 years has been great. And we're going to continue on.
If there is a mistake, and this is always kind of the hard question, if there's something that you felt like that you wanted back or that the city did that they probably were, it was the wrong place or the wrong time or the wrong decision that was made. And this is like, you know, this is the interview question. It's
I already know what I'll probably say.
I think
say.
Everybody does. Go on.
So if I had, if I, you know, if you could go back in time and could you do something all over again, I think possibly was maybe the form-based code and what was Crabapple, because it's a totally different type of zoning, and it, you know, we'll see how it shapes out. But
talk about what form-based code.
So form-based code, and
we talk to average people.
And
here.
I remember when I was in the audience, I was on the other side. I wasn't on planning commission. I was just a Crabapple resident, right? And it was the most complicated type of zoning anyone's probably will ever be a part of, because most zoning is what we know: residential, commercial, industrial, right?
And the agricultural.
That's AG1, AG1 in Milton. And so you know what you're going to get, right? With form-based code, it's all density. So it's all density driven. So you could have a commercial building there, you could have a residential building there. It's all about the density, and then all the uses are all allowed. So it's hard. It's just, you have to have a long-term vision for it and where the economy is. Is it going to be commercial? Is it going to be residential? For the most part, I think it's done fine, but I do think there are probably some tweaks. I think people did not understand the type of density that could happen with form-based code. But the truth of the fact is, now that we have it, we need to embrace it, and we need to, you know, embrace our commercial areas, really.
Let me ask you,
because it was a blank slate. I mean, Crabapple was a blank slate,
and there were brownstones and Old Blind Dog. I mean, it was for a decade.
Yeah, it was. You had Fulton County here. Maybe more. It was just a blank slate, and so it'll be interesting to see how this, because you know, it'll be because we now have just started to see some businesses start opening up. I mean, my business is there. The Starbucks I went to this morning is there. So there's a lot of good stuff. And so it'll be interesting to see how the other undeveloped parts of Crabapple develop into the form-based code.
Let me ask you, half the people who listen to my show love it because it's really inside baseball, the people that they don't have access to. And the other people, you know, the other folks are like the big interviews with people statewide who run on sound bites. So I'll go in a different direction with you. Mm-hmm. When you look off of, so if you pay attention and you drive down Windward Parkway, what you don't know is that the southern part of Windward Parkway is largely the city of Alpharetta. I think it may all be. And if you go north and you look at Deerfield, you don't necessarily know you drive into Milton, but that's Milton.
Yes.
What do you think your plans are? Because you have unique opportunities through Deerfield in that part where there's really, I mean, if you had the kind of density that Alpharetta has seen in certain pockets, talk to me about what you see turning over in creating that as a commercial core, a second commercial.
So, corridor. I mean, that is another form-based code. So that was done when Crabapple was done. It was all done at the same time, or maybe like right after each other. And so it should be that Deerfield corridor. I mean, we have a large swath of land that is zoned at one of our highest densities, right? The density in that area is much higher than density in Crabapple, right? And so I would love it if we could, you know, all commercial, as much commercial as possible, because as you know, the city of Milton doesn't have a lot of commercial.
And it subsidizes a lot.
Yes, absolutely. And so, you know, whether that is office buildings, you know, retail, I would love to see how the economy drives these decisions, because I don't think we're going to see something like an Avalon. You know, I just really don't know, but I want them to use it as more of a commercial than a, you know, just throw a bunch of residential there. And, you know, that really doesn't help the city much.
Outside of, okay, so I'll ask you this and we'll close here. We've talked through T-Splost, we've talked through parks, trails. Your vision is the one thing that you could get done that we haven't necessarily spoken on was, what are the results that you want people to know you for in your time as the mayor of Milton? What's your vision really for the city, if you can sum it up in a paragraph or two or 10?
Well, I'll try to sum it up as best as possible, because I always do think there are mayors in North Fulton that, you know, after they leave, they do have like a legacy, right? And I'll give David Bell Alice shout out here. And, you know, his was Avalon and City Center. Fantastic, right? Everyone that was going through it was like, oh my gosh, I don't know if this is going to be good. And it's turned out to be great. I'm sure there's growing pains with it, but it ended up being good. So I think the vision that I would like is what we go back to is the parks and trails. We've spent so much money on these passive parks, and we need to expand our active parks, that hopefully by the time that I am out of council and mayor, that we have created a legacy to where people are now coming to Milton because of our parks and trails and active sports and all of that, because that is the one thing, the one need right now that we need to address.
So I want to close here on a lighter note. Can you run for office in Milton without having a horse on something?
I didn't have a horse. I had a four-board fence.
You had a four-board fence.
Did not have a horse. Everyone else, I think, did have a horse.
When was the last time you were on a horse?
Over the summer, actually. Oh, not in Milton, but what? Yes. A little horseback riding with the kids. But no, I use a four-board fence.
So if you're out,
my neighbor has horses.
If you're outside of Milton, you probably don't know. It's like New Zealand and sheep. There are more horses in Milton per capita than there are people.
And to go back to the horse, that is one of the things that we are trying to do, is try to keep our large landowners here. And but it's very, very difficult, but we're trying to give every incentive possible.
There's two things that are synonymous with people from Milton. Their 30A stickers on the backs of their cars along with their horse.
Well, what's synonymous with Alpharetta then, Ben?
Apartments.
You said that. I did not. And that's what happens when you have an outgoing council member. Does not care.
Peyton, man, it's good to see you.
Absolutely.
It's always good to catch up. Thanks for coming on. Come back anytime, man. Thank you.
I will. Thank you.
The warm air, the sounds of baseball, it's got you thinking about hitting the road. And no matter where your adventures take you, Subaru of Gwinnett has a vehicle to get you there safely and in style. Like the 2024 Subaru Outback, sporting standard symmetrical all-wheel drive and up to 32 miles per gallon. Or the 2024 Subaru Forester, the SUV with a spacious and comfortable interior for everyone you want to bring along. Start your shopping online at SubaruofGwinnett.com, then come see us for a test drive on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.